Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
And today I want to share with you an account where Jesus modeled to us how we can approach those things in our lives that need reviving. How can we can approach those things in our lives that we need to see restored back to life. And this comes from Luke chapter 7. And so it'll be on the screen for you. It says that now it happened the day after that Jesus went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and he touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And so he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Wow, what an astounding miracle. Wouldn't it be incredible to be present in that moment? In that moment, they've literally laid him in a coffin and were carrying him out of the city to bury him. This widow, her only son, her only hope of a future, of someone who's going to provide and look after her, she's carrying that, all her hopes, out to bury them. All her hopes out of that city to lay them to rest. It's just an astounding, astounding miracle, because what happens, and what I want to bring your attention to here, is Jesus' approach to this young man who had passed away. How he interacted in that moment with something that had died, with something that was inactive and ineffective. You see, in that moment, Jesus didn't get on board with the funeral. He didn't join the mourners. He didn't just stand there and watch it pass him by. But Jesus actually interrupted the funeral. He actually walked up to this procession and did something that people in those days knew that you should not do, and that was place his hand upon the coffin. If you were to do that, you've touched something that's died, now you're unclean. Now you've been defiled. But we know our Jesus, don't we? That when he places his hand on something unclean, it's no longer unclean. It's no longer defiled. That is actually the reverse that takes place. The life in him goes into that thing that he lays his hands on. And so he completely interrupted the funeral. And you know, what I believe for you today, what I'm believing will take place in us today, is we cry out to God, revive us. That God will revive us to the power, or to the awareness of the power of his word to bring life. That God will revive us to the power of his word to interrupt the funeral, so to speak, that we have for those dead things in our lives, for those things that are asleep and need to wake up, that he will interrupt that funeral and bring about his plan, his purpose, restore them back to life. And so today I want to speak to you on this thought, a good interruption. Because who knows that if somebody is to interrupt a funeral where someone has died and brought them back to life, that's a good interruption. That's a good interruption. I don't like being interrupted, but if you wanted to interrupt me in that way, that's a good interruption. That's a good interruption. And you know, this is what God does with the power of his word. He interrupts those things that are not of him. He interrupts those things that maybe seem dead and buried and lifeless, and he can restore them back to life. In Romans 4:17, Paul wrote this about God. He said, "God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." That God brings life to the dead and he calls those things which do not exist as though they did. How incredible is that? He can look at something and call it back to life. But even in a space where that thing isn't even in existence or in our perception does not exist, God can call it back to life. God can call it into existence. Just as he spoke to that young man who had ceased to exist, he spoke to that young man who had passed away. God calls those dead and non-existent things in our life back to life. This scripture in Romans 4, it comes from a longer passage of scripture that refers to the faith of Abraham. And many of us know that story, the account of Abraham and Sarah, how they were quite old, quite long in years, I suppose the Bible would say, and they'd reached that point in their life and they still had not had any children, which in that society, in that day, was devastating. And then one day God came to them and gave them a word and said, you are going to have a child. And more than that, your descendants are going to outnumber the stars in the sky. And when he gave them that promise, he also changed Abram's name. His name was Abram. It meant exalted father. But God changed his name to Abraham, a father of many nations. And then for all the time that passed between when his name was changed and to then when that child was actually born, every time Abraham introduced himself, every time someone spoke to him, they were declaring over him the word of God that you are a father of many nations. Again and again and again, God was calling into existence something that did not yet exist. And he did it with the power of his word. By the change of his name. Every time Abraham declared his name or someone spoke it over him, they were declaring God's word, God's promise over him. You know, this is a powerful example how we are to approach those things in our lives that are dead and gone. How do we approach those things in our lives that are asleep or inactive and ineffective in our lives? We can revive those dead and non-existent things with the word of God. That we can declare the word of God over those situations, over those circumstances, over those lost dreams, over those things that we are struggling with. Maybe it's a wayward child or an issue with your mental health. Maybe it's a lack of peace or a lack of faith. Whatever it is, we can see it revived with the word of God. God's word is powerful. In Genesis 1, we read the account of how God created the world. And I love this because it's such a picture of our creative God and how he uses word, the word or his word to create life literally from nothing. In Genesis 1 verse 2, he says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light. The description of the earth before God spoke is that it was without form, it was void, it was dark. Light did not exist. And those words, without form and void, they mean confusion, they mean chaos. They mean it was empty, it was like a wasteland, it was desolate. This is what it looks like. Yet when God spoke his word into that situation, when God spoke that word into the earth as it was, he called into existence things that did not exist. He called into existence light. He called into existence the land. He called into existence fish and birds and animals and people. And he filled that thing that was once void and without life with life. He filled it with life and he filled it with purpose. This is an incredible picture of the power of the word of God. The power of the word of God. And you know what? He doesn't leave it there, but he gives us his word. He gives us his word so that we can, in whatever situation we're facing or wherever we're at, if we're in a place where we feel empty, where we feel void of life, where we feel we're in a place of chaos or confusion, when we're in a place that is formless and void, that we can declare the word of God over our lives, and we can know that in that time, in that space of declaration, that God can bring things that are even non-existent into being in our life. That God can fill us with faith when we have no faith. That God can turn our fear around into peace. That God can take those things by the power of His word and transform it and change it into something that did not exist before. That He can interrupt the chaos and confusion of our lives with His word and bring peace and bring hope and bring life, bring form and bring purpose. This is the power of His word. You know, in Hebrews 4, it says that the word of God is alive and active. It's not just words on a page. It's not just something that you say, but those words that God has given us in His word, in His scriptures, they are alive and active. Everything that He speaks has the power to bring life, has the power to bring activity into what it's been spoken into. It is a word that is not inactive. It's not passive, but it actually goes to work. That's why it also says in the Bible that every word God speaks doesn't return to Him void, but it accomplishes everything that it's been spoken to do. God's word has been spoken with purpose. It has been spoken to do something, to achieve something. It's not just spoken for no reason. He's not just saying words just to fill a book, but He's actually given us words so that transformation can take place, so His purpose can be established, so that life can break forth. This is the power of the Word of God. You know, I believe today that God wants to revive in us that awareness of that power of His Word to bring transformation and life and hope into those situations, no matter what we're facing, no matter where we are. Because you see, God knows that we are facing an enemy every day, aren't we? We're facing an enemy on the daily. You know, we read about him in the scriptures. He's called Satan, but he's also called the father of lies. He is a great deceiver. The word says that he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for who he might devour, that he accuses the brethren day and night, that he's throwing accusations against God's people. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I believe the lies. Sometimes I believe that the things that I've done in my past are going to impact my future. Sometimes I believe that, yeah, I am not up to whatever God has called me to do. Sometimes I believe that the fears that come into my mind. But our weapon against those things is the Word of God. Jesus showed us, didn't he, when he went into the desert to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. And at the end of that time, the enemy came to tempt him. How did Jesus fight back against him? Come on, Jesus. You know, 40 days, that's long enough to fast. Come on, why don't you turn these stones into bread? He always gets you when you're at your weakest, doesn't he? But Jesus says, it is written. It is written. Man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is written. Again and again, Jesus pushed back and turned away the temptation, the attack, the accusation of the enemy with the word of God. That is our weapon. That is our weapon against those accusations. Every time fear rises, you can say, I do not have a spirit of fear. I have a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. We need to get the word in us, church, don't we? We need to know the word. We need to have that in us so we can come back against those lies. We can come back against the accusation. This is why we say we need to read our word every day. This is why it's so great to do Life Found and Life Activated. It's why it's so great to be in Connect and have your life transformed and get into the word. We need the word. Because I'm telling you right now, the lies won't stop. The accusation won't stop. The deception won't stop until we're standing on that sea of glass, okay? That's when it will stop. And right now, while we are doing this journey, we need the Word of God in our lives. It's the power of this Word that will the revival in us of that awareness of the power of His Word. That is going to change us, transform us, and mean that we stand strong in all that God has called us to do, all that God has called us to be. You know, I just felt to share this today, and It's a little bit maybe off track around my message, but your past is not a prophetic declaration of your future. Your past is not a prophetic declaration of your future. This word is a prophetic declaration of your future. It doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been, what your experience may have been. This word says what your future holds. This word tells you that you are loved. This word tells you that you are a child of God. This word tells you that you can live with a spirit of power and of love and that you can have a sound mind. This word tells you that by His stripes your body is healed. This word tells you that you have a future and a hope in Him, that He doesn't desire to harm you but to bring you into good things. This word is what we need to point us into the direction, the future that God has for us, to live prophetically by what He has called us to, what He's drawing us to.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.